from up the road, and they're adult-sized prints, some kind of rubber-soled shoe. Notice the distinctive tread pattern. Gennaro saw only mud, puddles catching the light from the flashlights. You can see, Muldoon continued, the adult prints come to here, where they're joined by other prints, small and medium-sized, moving around in circles, overlapping, almost as if they're standing together talking. But now here they are, and they seem to be running, he pointed off. There, into the park. Gennaro shook his head. You can see whatever you want in this mud. Muldoon got to his feet and stepped back. He looked down at the ground and sighed. Say what you like, I'll wager one of the kids survived, and maybe both. Perhaps even an adult as well, if these big prints belong to someone other than Regis. We've got to search the park.
Tonight? Gennaro said.
But Muldoon wasn't listening. He had walked away toward an embankment of soft earth near a drain pipe for rain. He crouched again. What was that little girl wearing? Christ, Gennaro said, I don't know. Proceeding slowly, Muldoon moved farther toward the side of the road, and then they heard a wheezing sound. It was definitely an animal sound.
Listen, Gennaro said, feeling panic. I think we better...
Shh, Muldoon said. He paused, listening.
It's just the wind, Gennaro said.
They heard the wheezing again, distinctly this time. It wasn't the wind. It was coming from the foliage directly ahead of him, by the side of the road. It didn't sound like an animal, but Muldoon moved forward cautiously. He waggled his light and shouted, but the wheezing did not change character. Muldoon pushed aside the fronds of a palm.
What is it?
Gennaro said. It's Malcolm, Muldoon said. Ian Malcolm lay on his back, his skin gray-white, mouth slackly open. His breath came in wheezing gasps. Muldoon handed the flashlight to Gennaro and then bent to examine the body.
I can't find the injury, he said. Head okay, chest, arms.
Then Gennaro shone the light on the legs.
He put a tourniquet on.
Malcolm's belt was twisted tight over the right thigh. Gennaro moved the light down the leg. The right ankle was bent outward at an awkward angle from the leg, the trousers flattened, soaked in blood. Muldoon touched the ankle gently, and Malcolm groaned. Muldoon stepped back and tried to decide what to do next. Malcolm might have other injuries. His back might be broken. It might kill him to move him. But if they left him here, he would die of shock. It was only because he had had the presence of mind to put a tourniquet on that he hadn't already bled to death. And probably he was doomed. They might as well move him. Gennaro helped Muldoon pick the man up, hoisting him awkwardly over their shoulders. Malcolm moaned and breathed in ragged gasps.
Lex, he said. Lex went. Lex.
Who's Lex? Muldoon said. The little girl, Gennaro said. They carried Malcolm back to the jeep and rested him into the back seat. Gennaro tightened the tourniquet around his leg. Malcolm groaned again. Muldoon slid the trouser cuff up and saw the pulpy flesh beneath, the dull white splinters of protruding bone.
We've got to get him back, Muldoon said.
You going to leave here without the kids?
Gennaro said.
If they went into the park, it's 20 square miles, Muldoon said, shaking his head. The only way we can find anything out there is with the motion sensors. If the kids are alive and moving around, the motion sensors will pick them up, and we can go right to them and bring them back. But if we don't take Dr. Malcolm back right now, he'll die.
Then we have to go back, Gennaro said.
Yes, I think so.